From Making the Movies. Today we are paying tribute to one of cinema's most underrated character actors, the late Billy Drago. Drago was renowned for playing some of the creepiest characters in film and television. Yes, folks, we're going to be discussing some television content, not since the review for the made-for-TV movie The Bounty Man, all the way back to Episode 7, Part 4 into our exploration of Volume 1 of the Grindhouse Experience. For this episode, number 27, we're going to look at The Untouchables, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., Sci-Fighters, and The X-Files episode, Thief. Before we get into the movies and shows, let's take a look at the man himself. William Eugene Burroughs Jr. was born on November 30th, 1945, in Hugoton, Kansas. He took the name Drago, his grandmother's maiden name, to avoid confusion with another actor. His parents would often drop him off at movie theaters, cementing his love for acting. After high school, he started out as a journalist. He later found work on talk radio in Canada, then in New York City. He was a stuntman for a Western show in Dodge City, Kansas. He took up acting after graduating from the University of Kansas. His acting career began in 1979. He started out in minor roles in Westerns and thrillers. He would be a regular guest star for TV shows like Hill Street Blues and Moonlighting. Not long after, Drago would be cast in his breakthrough role. Chicago kingpin Al Capone has been running illegal alcohol rackets throughout the city. Elliot Ness, an agent of the Bureau of Prohibition, is sent in to take down his operation. Unfortunately, most of the police are on Capone's payroll. Just as Ness is about to call it quits, he befriends an Irish beat cop, Jim Malone. Malone refuses at first, but changes his mind. Malone wants to make sure Ness is willing to go all the way in taking down Capone.
You said you wanted to know. Have to get Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be able all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
You want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm making you a deal. Do you want this deal?
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
It's a coward. Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
Ness and Malone take on two additional agents, Petri and Wallace. In quick fashion, they find Capone's hidden caches of alcohol disrupting business. This puts Ness and his team in Capone's crosshairs, especially with Capone's right-hand man, Needy.
Hey, nice house! I said, nice house! You live there? Little girl's having a birthday, huh?
Yes.
Nice to have a family.
Yes, it is.
Man should take care. See that nothing happens to you.
The Untouchables is a wonderful, pulpy crime film. You have the cops and robbers that recall the gangster classics of yesteryear. It has a Western feel to it as well, with Chicago not being big enough for both Capone and Ness. That dichotomy given us their motivations. Ness's duty to follow the law and Capone's avarice from bringing alcohol to the public. Director Brian De Palma made a reputation for himself as a director of stylish, violent pictures. Phantom of the Paradise, Carrie, The Fury, Dress to Kill, and Scarface. Pretty intense stuff. With The Untouchables, De Palma limited the style in favor of the character work with a stellar ensemble cast. But the film has its moments, thanks to cinematographer Stephen H. Burrum, the sweeping shot of Malone's apartment, as well as the baby carriage scene in the train station immediately come to mind. The script was written by David Mamet. Mamet has a knack for writing plays and screenplays that have a rhythm. He was doing the kind of dialogue Tarantino does in his films before Tarantino was a thing. American Buffalo, Glengarry Glen Ross, the 1981 film For the Postman Always Rings Twice, and Wag the Dog. A lot of good stuff. Sean Connery compared reciting Mamet dialogue to quoting the Bible. Just listen to the opening lines with Robert De Niro as Al Capone.
An article which I believe appeared in a newspaper asked why, since you are, or it would seem that you are in effect the mayor of Chicago, you have not simply been appointed to that position.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's touching. Like a lot of things in life, we laugh because it's funny and we laugh because it's true. Some people say, reformers here say, put that man in jail. What does he think he is doing? Well, what I hope I'm doing, and here's where your English paper's got a point, is I'm responding to the will of the people. People are going to drink. You know that. I know that. We all know that. And all I do is act on that. And all this talk of bootlegging. What is bootlegging? On the boat, it's bootlegging. On Lakeshore Drive, it's hospitality. I'm a businessman.
And what of your reputation that you control your business through violence? That those that don't purchase your products are dealt with violently?
Is that right? I grew up in a tough neighborhood. And we used to say you can get further with a kind word and a gun than you can with just a kind word. And in that neighborhood, it might have been true. And sometimes the reputation follows you. There is violence in Chicago, of course, but not by me and not by anybody I employ. And I'll tell you why, because it's not good business.
Ennio Morricone, what more can be said of one of the great film composers of all time? The Leone films, the select works of Dario Argento, select films of Sergio Corbucci, Quentin Tarantino, Fulci's Lizard in a Woman's Skin, the French originals for The Birdcage, the underrated heist film Grand Slam, A Sky Full of Stars for a Roof, Salo, 120 Days of Psalm, Autopsy, What Have You Done to Solange? The man is an icon. With The Untouchables, he plays up the pseudo-Western motif of the film in some parts. The opening theme recalls Morricone's work on Once Upon a Time in the West. Here's a side-by-side comparison of the Untouchables themes followed by The Man with the Harmonica. Before we get into Drago, let's talk about this amazing cast. Kevin Costner, Andy Garcia, both put in fine performances as part of the ensemble. Sean Connery as Jim Malone and Robert De Niro as Al Capone almost steal the movie, chewing up the scenery and espousing Mamet's dialogue with Yet Billy Drago as Needy adds something as an antagonist to Ness that Capone doesn't. A sinister menace. Capone is all about the bravado, being a public tough guy. Needy is the one willing to do what Capone denies. The opening scene in the bar has Needy leaving the explosive briefcase that kills a child. In the aforementioned clip where Ness first meets Needy, it's right outside Ness's home where his wife and daughter are vulnerable. What helps Drago further stand out is that he's not overexposed. Drago as Needy is very much like Patrick Stewart in Green Room. They use just enough of him to maintain that sense of dread when he comes on screen, but not too little that you easily forget about him. The Untouchables is an enjoyable gangster western homage. The cast does fantastic work with the material by Mamet, and De Palma brings all the elements together into a satisfying cinematic experience. Center on a lawyer-turned-bounty hunter who takes up the mantle after the death of his father. His father died while a gang led by John Bly was being transported. Briscoe is out for revenge, but also encounters a bizarre object that can give people superpowers. I remember the TV show, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. When I was a kid, that was my Friday night thing. That was when the show aired on Friday nights at 8 p.m., followed by the newly airing X-Files at 9 p.m., on the Buffalo Channel, Fox 29. I'm talking Prime Fox 29, the X-Men animated series, the Spider-Man animated series, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, Married with Children, Simpsons at the height of their power, The Critic, so much great television. Sadly, Briscoe County Jr. would only be on the air for one season before being canceled by Fox. The show premiered on August 27th, 1993. 1993 was a rough year for lead actor Bruce Campbell. On February 19th of that year, Army of Darkness premiered and was a resounding box office bomb. Yeah, folks, the Evil Dead fans didn't come out to support it because it was a radical change in tone and atmosphere compared to Evil Dead 2, but it still retained the kinetic camera stylings that were signature to Sam Raimi, and the character of Ash, played by Campbell, further developed, becoming a bigger asshole than previously thought. Army of Darkness will go on to become that cult classic that more and more people seem to be coming around on. Much like Army of Darkness, The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. would become a cult TV show fans. The feel of the show was fresh. It was a mix of Western with heavy science fiction and even steampunk before it blew up over here in the U.S. It felt like what the movie Wild Wild West should have been. For being a cult show, the film had a solid roster of talented actors and actresses, both in recurring roles and guest appearances. Bruce Campbell was having a ball as the sarcastic title character. Joining him were Julius Carey as Bowler and Christian Clemenson as Socrates Poole. Here is just a sample of the guest stars for this TV show. R. Lee Ermey, John Astin, James Hong, Timothy Leary, Stuart Whitman, Denise Crosby, Terry Funk, Joseph Pilato, David Warner, Robert Picardo, and Kane Hodder. Billy Drago would play the vicious outlaw John Bly. He started out simply as the man who killed Briscoe's father, but the later episodes would paint him as a man from the future, time-traveling to get the orb. For one season, that was a big jump, but I'm guessing that was due to the writers knowing the cancellation was imminent and wanted to bring Bly's arc to a close. This is a solid performance by Drago as Bly, and he works well off of the bravado of Campbell. They have a contrast which is pivotal to the hero and villain pairing. Campbell spoke highly of Drago. Campbell said Drago was genuinely one of the nicest people he ever worked with. With 27 episodes, you can breeze through The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Campbell is a stellar lead in a world full of crazy characters, notably Billy Drago as John Bly. It's a shame a quality show such as this couldn't have garnered a better viewership.
Claire! Jesus, what's in this guy?
It's contracted an unknown virus.
Unknown?
We don't know its nature, how it's transmitted, or even its ultimate effect.
In the not too distant future, the fate of mankind will depend on three things: the will to live, the skill to survive, and one renegade cop with a black shield. Roddy Piper is Lieutenant Cameron Grayson.
I ask, you answer.
He's on a special mission to uphold the law in the city of the future. But he's about to come face to face with an old adversary.
Does the name Adrian Dunn mean anything to you?
He's been in jail.
Where?
On the moon.
Who's come back from the grave to even the score.
Lord Dunn. I fired more ammunition into Dunn than most cops do in an entire career, and he's still alive. What the hell am I dealing with?
Not hell. Just outer space.
And spread a deadly plague that will mean the end of mankind. And the dawn of Earth's takeover by a hostile alien life form. Roddy Piper, the star of John Carpenter's They Live, Jungle Ground, and Back in Action. And the Untouchables' Billy Drago. In the explosive sci-fi thriller, Sci-Fighters. They're your only hope.
It's the future, the year 2009. The moon serves as a prison for Earth. One of the prisoners, former police officer Adrian Dunn, escapes and is infected with an alien virus. He makes his way back to Earth and starts to infect others. The only person who can stop him is his old partner, Detective Cameron Grayson. Not only was Dunn Grayson's former partner, but Dunn also murdered Grayson's wife. As more and more people are infected by Dunn, it becomes a race to stop him before it's too late. That's the plot of the 1996 action film Sci-Fighters. This was a prime piece of direct-to-video action that was a hallmark of the mid-1990s era for the film career of wrestling legend Rowdy Roddy Piper. It was at this time he had his team of films with Billy, I Made Tybo Blanks, Back in Action along with Tough and Deadly. There was also Immortal Kombat, where Piper co-starred with Sonny Chiba and features a cameo by Lionheart Chris Jericho. Be careful when looking this film up. There is also the similarly titled film Sci Fighter, that's singular, from 2004, starring Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Rothrock. This one deals with a virus invading a virtual reality game. Yeah, they kind of stole the plot from Are You Afraid of the Dark? Overall, this film is enjoyable. It's a low-budget sci-fi action virus film that features a cast taking the material seriously. That's where the joy comes from with these movies. The sincerity. Plus, you have two great character actors in Rowdy Roddy Piper and Billy Drago squaring off. Peter Zvatek had an unusual career. He went back and forth between Lifetime movies and low-budget genre affair, which I guess you can say is one and the same at times. He directed the late Rutger Hauer in both an adaptation of the Jack London classic White Fang and the cheapy horror film Bleeders. Both films came out in 1997. With Sci Fighters, Svatek is able to create a pretty tense film that has its moments of levity. What more can you say about Rowdy Roddy Piper? He's one of the all-time great talkers.
Hey, you think you're tough? Come on! Hey, you ain't nothing! You ain't nothing! I'll tell you one thing right now! You want to fight Andre? You're going to find out one thing! You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun!
He made a successful transition to acting from wrestling. He knew his strengths and what films worked best for his persona. Sci Fighters features a bit that is quintessential Piper as Grayson. He's trying to enter a lab, but the guards stop him. He shows his badge and tries to enter again, but the guards still block him. Then he does that signature Piper mannerism of scratching his head as he turns, then punches both guards out. Jane Heitmeier plays Dr. Kirby Younger, a scientist investigating the virus. Primarily a Canadian actress, she made a few appearances in American productions. She was in Snake Eyes with Nicolas Cage, which was also directed by Brian De Palma. She also appeared in Map of the Stars from director David Cronenberg. Billy Drago channels his turn as Needy from The Untouchables for his role of Adrian Dunn. He is a contrast to the slightly crazed take on Grayson by Piper. That dichotomy will never not be a needed factor in any movie scenario. You need that distinction between a good guy and a bad guy and how they play off of each other. Sci Fighters is easy to find. I was able to find it on Tubi TV as well as in full on YouTube. One night, while staying with family, Dr. Irving Thalborough apparently commits suicide. Not before he apparently writes the word thief on the wall in his own blood. Thief is spelled T-H-E-E-F. Agent Scully is confused why the incident is considered an X-file when it seems to be a simple case of suicide. Agent Mulder shows her dirt in the bed of the victim, which is part of Hexcraft.
Good afternoon.
Can I help you?
Yeah, we're looking for some alternative medical advice.
Oh, you've come to the right place. I get a lot of folks fed up with their HMOs.
Well, actually, we're not here for us.
Oh, Chief, back in your pocket.
It's dirt.
It's gopher dust is what it is. I don't know what your intentions are with that.
Gopher dust?
Conjure dust, gopher dust. How would you go about making somebody sick using that? We're investigating a murder. That's why I'm asking.
Oh. Speaking strictly in the academic sense, you'd spread it on or near your victim to direct misfortune.
So you could give them any illness you wanted, one that you chose specifically for them?
Oh, that's a lot trickier. It requires something special.
A voodoo doll?
No, they're called puppets. Inside, you place three thorns, a blood-red rose, a strand of hair, and a photo of your victim. Maybe other items as well. Depends on the operator. Sew it up. Say your spell.
How would you counteract one of these?
Depends what you're dealing with. But if the person you're looking for is powerful enough to bring about a murder, he's probably charmed.
Which would mean what?
It means just that. He's drawing on the energy of a charm. A source of magic power. It could be any item, provided that it's very important to him, something that holds great meaning for him. And unless you can separate him from his charm, you're out of luck.
Dr. Robert Weider and his family are shaken by the death of Dr. Thalbro. They don't realize that they are being targeted by a man named Oral Petey. Petey has a connection to Dr. Weider, and Petey feels the doctor is responsible for the death of his daughter. He wants revenge. I loved The X-Files. Much like with The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr., I would be up Friday nights to watch it before they moved it to Sundays after The Simpsons. I didn't care for the whole alien nonsense that was the multi-season plot. I enjoyed the Monster of the Week episodes. Those showed a lot of the creativity and even harkened back to the good old days of Kolchak the Night Stalker. Thief was episode 14 of season 7. This is probably my second favorite episode of The X-Files. My all-time favorite was episode 2 of season 4, Home. This was when Mulder and Scully dealt with a family of deformed hillbillies that were the result of generations of incestuous relations. There was also episode 8 of the first season, Ice, which played like a riff on John Carpenter's The Thing. Humbug, episode 12 of season 2, had Mulder and Scully encounter the Jim Rose Circus. These types of episodes allowed them to really push the envelope in a way that the alien conspiracy episodes didn't. Performance-wise, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson really show their wonderful chemistry in contrast. Duchovny as Mulder is all about the hexcraft, visibly showing fascination and respect for it. Anderson as Scully is rightfully skeptic until she's on the receiving end of Petey's hexing. Billy Drago as Oral Petey is great as the sympathetic villain. You understand his motivation, despite that many will see him as playing an Appalachian stereotype. But he has some of the best lines in the entire episode.
Happencore. You gotta put the money in first.
I still use the phrase poppin' corn instead of popcorn. The X-Files remains one of the best genre shows ever broadcast. It was a clever mix of science fiction, horror, and putting these fantastical elements in a real-world context. Thief stands as one of the best episodes of the show in my opinion, and Billy Drago plays the most important part of that episode. And that finishes this episode of Mac and the Movies. Thanks for listening. In 2 weeks, I will be dropping the next episode, which will be, let me quickly look at that, that is going to be Monday, August 19th. If you listen to my recent appearances on the live stream hosted by Digital Pollution or my guest spot on Wrong Reel, I will be paying tribute to another character actor that passed away recently, Rutger Hauer. Just a quick shout out to the White People Shit podcast. Dax suggested that I change the name of the show to Mac at the Movies. Well, at this point, changing the title would be kind of moot. I've been plugging this show on social media and other podcasts for so long that Mac in the Move as Mac in the Movies, that Mac at the Movies would just not work for me in the audience. I'm going to keep it Mac in the Movies. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share on social media and leave a comment. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter. If you'd like for this program to grow, consider a one-time donation to PayPal. Also, follow this program on the platform of your choice, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Podomatic, ListenNotes.com, and Player.fm. All info is in the description. Until next time, this is Mackenzie Lambert for Mac and the Movies. Take care, folks.